Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my word. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away, and I will come back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so that when it happens, you may believe." The Gospel of the Lord. We are approaching Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is telling us today what he wants to happen. We are not just talking about the historical event of the past, which began the church, but we're talking about the year 2010 with us who are here now, who the Lord loves so much. The Lord is telling us that he wants to send us the Paraclete, the Advocate. God desires to come and dwell in each one of us. And you may say, "I know that. I received him already in baptism." It is true. However, he wants to bring this presence to a deeper and deeper awareness into us, that we can say in a much greater way, "I know the Lord. I know in whom I have placed my confidence." Even more, not only knowing the Lord, but expecting the Lord to really guide us in the steps of our life, in a way that we will not any longer do anything without listening first to the Lord who is within us, guiding us, inspiring us. Now, for this to happen, we need to be ready. And we become ready through taking time to be with the Lord. If someone asks you, how do you get to know somebody? How do you get to trust somebody? The first thing is spend time with that person. Get to know that person by being with that person, sharing your life with that person. How much more that must be true with Jesus himself. And I tell you, in this, we face great opposition. Because Satan knows that if we do that, we will be transformed and he will have no power over us, no hold on us. So how does he do it? Try to keep us always distracted, in control, doing things. It happens to all of us, so that we never pin down the time to say, I'm going to have an appointment with God. I'm going to cut out every other thing, and I'm going to have an appointment with the Lord. Just to be with him there. Just to be with him. You don't have to tell him anything. You don't have to be asking anything. Just to be with the Lord. To praise the Lord. To listen to the Lord. That's what you're doing right now. Praise God for that. We need to come to the realization of how fundamental it is, our Holy Mass on Sunday. And how about if we expand that throughout the week by having every day a little time at least with the Lord? When that happens, the Lord then can guide us so that he is really in authority over our lives all the time. Some people still think that being spiritual is somehow the opposite of being practical. So you have spiritual people who are somewhere out there in the clouds, and then you have the practical people who are hands-on, who have common sense, who can really get things done. Do you realize the fundamental lie behind that? That is to say that Jesus Christ was out of it. That is to say that we can't have too much of the Lord lest we ourselves lose our common sense. My brothers and sisters, that is not true. Actually, an authentic relationship with the Lord brings us into the fullness of reality. There's no one who is more real, more aware of things as they are, and therefore more responsible for the daily life and duties than holy women and holy men. Coming into the Lord, receiving the Paraclete, is allowing God, really, the creator of the whole universe, the one who keeps everything in order, to come and dwell in us so that we are in harmony with him. And we understand who he is, and therefore we understand who we are, and we are happy to be who we are. And we praise God even for our troubles and our struggles, because we join them with him and they're full of meaning. Look at the lives of the brothers and sisters in the early church. The persecutions they endured. But notice, and we see it in the Acts of the Apostles all through this week, they were always attentive to the Lord, and the Lord will tell them where to go and where not to go, and what to do. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us, since God is one, the Trinity comes and dwells in us. We are living in the presence of Jesus Christ, with the Father, dwelling in us. We become truly the temple of God. And therefore, our demeanor, our behavior, even exteriorly, must reflect this reality that has transformed our lives from within. We are truly born again. We are truly a new creation. Now, we know the struggles. We fail. And we do what we should not do. We are not perfect. None of us is. And the Lord knows that. The point is that we are running the race. That we know that right is right and wrong is wrong. And we are on the journey seeking to be holy. The problem is when we say, well, that's the way I am. I can't change. That is a lack of understanding of the power that has been given to us. But this power we need to respond to so that the Lord can continue to perfect us and bring us to the fullness of His will. Now, this gets into practical issues. Perhaps none of us, I don't think any of us, has any problem of eating food that was taken from strangled animals, right? Or sacrificed idols. But perhaps when we talk about marriage, when the Holy Spirit came upon these people, they understood that those many practices like circumcision were not any longer a requirement. But there are many other realities that have to do with the way we behave that became all important. And one of them that they do mention here is unlawful marriage. And we have to bring that up because it's in Holy Scripture. Don't get upset with me. The Lord is bringing us to a new awareness. Marriage is holy, is sacred. And we have come to know as Catholics that we enter into marriage before the Lord. And as the Lord Jesus gave His life for us, now men and women come together before the Lord and they give their lives to the Lord and to one another and they join in covenant in Christ forever. This is the only way for Christians to enter into marriage. Because if we say that we give to the Lord our bodies and we give to the Lord our time, we give to the Lord everything, how are we not going to give our vocation, our way of life? And those who are married, therefore, give to the Lord their marriage so that the Lord that dwells in them dwells in the marriage and dwells in the home, and the Lord is glorified and honored and respected at that home that belongs now to the Lord. When the Lord teaches us things and things that have to do with our daily life, it is not just rules because we're Catholic. In other words, we're not saying, well, Catholics should not commit adultery, but it's okay for some other groups to do it. It's just our rule, you know? Or Catholics don't do abortion, but it's okay for other people to do abortion. What we have received is not a rule. What we have received is deep knowledge from God of reality, of what it means to be human, of what it means to be a son and a daughter of God. When we receive this knowledge from God, this awareness, we understand that we have a precious, precious gift that is not just for you and for me, but God means it to be for all humanity. If abortion is evil for everyone to do it. And so we must go and witness to the world the truth. The same thing goes, for example, for sexual relations outside of marriage. It's not a rule. You know, the church teaches that because, you know, the church puts rules. It is a gift from God. Once we understand who we are as temples of God, once we understand the gift of sexuality, then we know that it's an offense to the Lord and it's damaging to ourselves and to others when we engage in sexual intimacy outside of holy marriage. And I say that because another way of translating the first reading where it says unlawful marriage, another way of translating that is also fornication. And the Lord says, you cannot do that. If you belong to me, if you have come to the fullness of the knowledge of truth, you have come to be a new creation. And so you have come to know the fullness of reality, what a human being is all about. And so it goes for all the other teaching that comes from the Lord that we call morality. In other words, the way of behaving. It all reflects this coming in touch with God that completely changes our lives. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, it becomes for you a useless burden, a useless law. Isn't that ridiculous, this loss from the church? That's a way of thinking of someone who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. If we have the Holy Spirit in the other hand, we know it's true, we know it's hard, we know that we have to enter into a struggle, but we realize it's worth it because it's liberating. It's bringing us to be able to live in the fullness of men and women who really are capable of loving and building up the kingdom of God.